This Lenten season, as we prepare for Easter, we are considering the ways prayer can help us grow in relationship with ourselves and with God. I tell you, there are so many resources developed around the idea of prayer. There are books and seminars and articles and workshops, so many different things. Actually, the articles are something that pop up a lot for me, especially in my inbox and on my Facebook feed and other things. One of the occupational hazards of being a pastor is anytime someone sees anything related to religion, they send it to you. And I actually benefit from a lot of those. Now, if these articles, they aren't just about personal prayer. Now, there are some that talk about new ways to pray, methods to pray, old ways to pray, all sorts of beautiful things. But they aren't always just about personal prayer, how we might pray as individuals. A lot of them are about prayer in church. One subject that comes up often in this kind of writing is the practice of doing a joys and concerns time at church. The trend in churches these days, especially in vibrant, growing churches, is not to do a joys and concerns time. Here are some common reasons why. It's very awkward for new guests and for introverts. I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of weird to have people talking about their lives like this, these deeply personal things just being randomly shared. What is this, Facebook? I mean, we're very uncomfortable with that. But more seriously, it can lead to an insider-outsider vibe for people that haven't been around it before. And the fear that an introvert might experience of being expected, wait, you want me to talk about what in front of who? Is a very real thing. Another issue that's often brought up is the uncertainty and unpredictability of a joys and concerns time. You never really know what someone is going to say, and sometimes it's not something that fits into prayer time communally. Sometimes it's a comment and not a prayer request. Sometimes it's a personal agenda. Sometimes it's an announcement. Sometimes it's something that just disrupts the whole intention of our time together in a service. Now, some of you are looking at you going, I haven't seen that happen here. Thank God it doesn't. But trust me, it does sometimes and in some places. And honestly, most pastors are control freaks, and we really don't like the notion of not knowing what's going to happen. Now, one reason larger and growing churches don't do joys and concerns is simply the time. You realize that joys and concerns takes twice as long as it used to because we have twice as many people as we used to have. When you think about what that would be in some of these very huge churches, there's just no way. There's just no way, and so they don't. Or they find other ways to connect people in prayer. Now, there are also some more what I'll call invisible risks. People worrying that their prayer concern isn't as significant as someone else's. You hear something named, and you're like, oh, well, mine's not like that. Before you know it, someone's belittling their own experience and feeling that what they're going through doesn't matter as much as other people's things. We don't want that. Sometimes people are afraid to share a joy because it might seem rude after someone else has just shared a deep concern, and so I can't talk about how good things are for me after they just shared how bad things are for them, and suddenly there's worry and comparison and all these different things. All sorts of emotional overthinking can leave us feeling uncomfortable, and it can also be counterproductive to what prayer is about. Now, there are a lot of other reasons that get brought up as well, but these are some of the big ones. And so after having been at Highlands for a while and reading so many of these articles, I started to wonder if we maybe shouldn't do away with the joy and the concern time. In fact, over the last 3.5 years, there have been at least 3 or 4 occasions I seriously thought about removing joys and concerns from our service. And each and every time I started to think about it, something happened. Now, the something that happened was different every time, and yet the same thing kept happening. There was one week, as we participated in what might have been our last joys and concerns time, that one of our folks mentioned that they were about to take an engineering exam to get certified for their job. After worship, a couple who was visiting, it was either their first time or their second time here, immediately got up after worship and found that person and was like, hey, we just took that exam last year, we're both engineers. Oh, it was this and that, and I saw them talking, and then every single week after that, they all were sitting together. And every single week after church, they'd get together and they'd talk about things, they'd go to lunch, and before you knew it, relationship. Each and every time I saw them return, they were connected and caring for one another because of a single hand-raising moment. There was another time I was contemplating making a change to Joys and Concerns, and that time, a member of our congregation shared about a miscarriage, one of those concerns that's sometimes hard to raise your hand about. This is a very difficult life issue that comes up a lot around here, but not very publicly. And when she decided to share this concern and ask for prayer, just myself, because of pastoral care, was aware of no less than 3 other people dealing with lost pregnancies or infertility just within that last couple weeks. And after worship, about a half dozen women came to talk to her about their own struggles. They talked, they shared, they gathered, and as they went to go and support one person, suddenly they realized they could know each other and support one another, and something that had been unnamed suddenly was there, and they weren't alone. They ended up sharing with each other. It was like an impromptu support group had connected around this need for prayer. And there it happened again. Relationship. I see individuals check in with each other and sit down together. Some of these same people on All Saints Day or on other holidays, because they want to be together in those moments. And then there's other times when my resolve wasn't so strong about getting rid of joys and concerns, but, you know, maybe we need to do something different with prayer time. And the idea is floating around in my brain, and it always seems on those weeks that someone calls me or emails me or stops me on the street or finds me after worship and says something like, "Hey, Pastor Brad, last week so-and-so mentioned such-and-such during prayer time, and I didn't get to hear how things turned out. Can you tell me how they are?" Relationship. Every time, it's amazing, or someone, I hear people greet each other as we're gathering for worship, and I hear someone say, "Hey, I don't know your name, but a couple weeks ago you mentioned such and such in prayers, and I just wanted to let you know I've been thinking about you." There it is again, relationship. Every single time I've thought about changing or even removing joys and concerns time, God straightens me out. With the right people, and with the right attitude, something amazing happens when we pray together. You see, joys and concerns is a moment of authentic life and a very vulnerable opportunity for us to grow as a community. It's a time in which we can deepen our relationships with God, with ourselves, and as I'm constantly reminded, prayer is an opportunity for us to deepen our relationships with one another, because our prayers connect us. They remind us that we're not alone. They set life in context. They can make us very appreciative. There are days I walk out of here after hearing what's going on in people's lives and just value so much more. Prayer time can give us a purpose and remind us that we're needed. That the people in this congregation, the people that live around us, our community, they need us. Sometimes actively, sometimes quietly, all times in relationship. Our prayers also change us. It's that relational reality that's named in the writings of James in the New Testament. Hear these words. "Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and be prayed over, anointed with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your needs to one another and pray for one another so that you might be made whole. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective." Those are powerful words. Prayer can be powerful and effective because it builds relationship in our lives. Now, I don't know what prayer looks like for you. Maybe it's a momentary pause where you connect with another person's need. You hear something named and you think to yourself, "Wow, that's really tough. They have to be hurting." That empathy, that connection in that moment is prayer. It may not begin with dear God and it may not end with amen, but you have connected with a person and held them in your thoughts. Even those moments are prayer. Maybe you have a much more formal style of prayer. Maybe you work through a list of names and needs every day that you keep in somewhere in your heart or in a book. God bless so-and-so and so-and-so and please tend to such-and-such. That intentional naming of others is prayer. Maybe your prayers are without words. Perhaps it's about finding a space and a time where you simply exist and let your awareness say more than your words ever could. Maybe it's the intention you hold in yoga. Maybe it's the gratitude you feel as you garden. Or maybe it's your thoughts as you intentionally choose to do something kind for someone else. These are all forms of prayer. And they are all ways we can pray for one another. And so I ask you, whatever your prayers might be or might look like, I'm asking you today to pray for one another. I try to mention it often, but it cannot be overstated. We don't do a joys and concerns time aloud simply so we can pray for whatever those needs are in this one moment and be done with it. We share and take this time so that we can all pray for one another throughout the week. And not just the prayers said aloud. For every prayer concern named on a Sunday morning, there are a dozen, if not dozens, of unspoken prayers that are carried in that same spirit. Every illness we hear about, oh, there are so many more. Every job transition, all the different things that go on. They're countless. And we know that when one person names them, it hopefully reminds us to pray for all the people dealing with those kinds of things. Every time a diagnosis is shared, a need is mentioned, a worry is spoken, a loss is named aloud, we are reminded that all of us are in need. Prayer helps us connect with our shared humanity, our common experience, and our honest selves. So even if the person next to you doesn't raise their hand and name a prayer, I guarantee you they need your prayers. Even if the person next to you doesn't write something on that little line of the blue prayer card, I guarantee you they need you to pray for them. Oh, which reminds me, grab a blue prayer card and put yourself on our prayer chain. Get an email once a week inviting you, reminding you to pray for our church family, reminding you to pray for our community and pray for our world. It can be a nice moment in that chaotic life we lead to get that email and think about, you know what? There are people I need to pray for. Even in that moment of knowing you need to pray for them, you are. Now this isn't about boosting numbers, by the way. I want to make sure this is clear. We don't just need to get a certain number of people praying about a problem to fix it. That's not how God works. In no way, shape, or form is God sitting around going, oh, only 27 people prayed for so-and-so to get a job. I'll think about it when they get to 64. That's not how God works. We don't just need a certain number of people praying to change things. We're not trying to boost some sort of amplification here. We're trying to build relationship. I don't know if adding one more voice praying for someone who is sick is going to change things for them. But I do know this, that when you pray for someone who is sick, you will be changed. How you see the world will be changed. How appreciative you are will be changed. How you feel about that person, how you are motivated to care for others, and things that will be tangibly made known to them will change. Because prayer works that way. We need to pray for one another because it helps us grow in relationship with God, in relationship with ourselves, and in relationship with one another. And it's my sincere prayer that we will do this. Amen.